Let us pray together before we look at the gospel lesson. We pray that through the power of your Spirit, that the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words of my lips would be guided by you, and may we hear your word and your word alone. Christ's holy name. Amen. As a new Christian in high school, who in this setting I'm not, but in some settings I'm very shocked, I really did not like this scripture. I hated this scripture. I thought this scripture didn't work. Because I was a new Christian, and you know, you start reading through the Bible and you see this thing where if you ask for it, you're going to get it. If you seek and ask and knock, you're going to find it. And I remember, of course I will not tell you names, but I can tell you as a little new Christian in high school, there were certain young high school female names that I wanted the good Lord to turn them in my direction in favor, and I would just pray, asking, and I would seek, and I would knock, and it didn't work. So I moved from praying for that to, okay, Lord, what about automobiles? And I'd see, and I'd ask, and I'd knock, and I'd say amen, and still have an old 65 Cadillac added right away. And you, if you're honest, will know that prayer is a real mystery, isn't it? We know we're supposed to do it. We know that we're called to do it. We know that we have promises. But why? Why do we pray? There's a lot of interesting questions in this passage. The first one is in verse 1. If Jesus is God, why does Jesus need to pray? Now, Luke stresses that a great deal. There's six different, very distinct passages in the Gospel, according to Luke, where we're told that Jesus Christ prays. Now, we think of prayer as asking God for things. How many of you have children? And they often will come and ask you for something, usually related in one way or the other to money. Aren't you glad that as soon as those children hit the age of 18 and go out on their own, they never again ask you for money? And they come to you like Willie Sutton came to the bank to rob it because he said that's where the money is found. And they come to ask you, to petition you, because they know what they need is in your back pocket or purse. But do you pray to yourself? No, you just take the money out, you take the wallet out, you take the purse out, you provide the needs. So why does Jesus, who has everything at his disposal, need to pray? I mean, isn't it redundant? If prayer is primarily not about needs, then what is it about? And I think this is what we see from Jesus Christ and where our understanding of prayer can be askew. Prayer is not primarily about asking our gracious God to do what His nature is going to do anyway. Jesus shows us that prayer is about communion. He prays because He's in communion. He has been in a perfect fellowship for all eternity between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're not praying to get anything. They're praying because they're communicating. They are seeking to commune. Do you have some relationships with people that when you speak, you have to be very careful? You feel like you're walking on a tight wire. Your voice,
your tone, the words you say, and maybe even the facial expressions you have. You understand that you're navigating through a minefield. And you need to be very careful. Do you also have some relationships where the communication comes easy? You can have a misstep. You can speak and it not be exactly the best tone. It's not exactly phrased in the best way, but because the relationship is intact, the communication is truly communion. And that's why it is prayer. So we don't come to God needing to appease a God and bring the words into just so alignment. No, we come to our Abba. We come to our Father. He doesn't want our words expressed in a pious way. He wants our presence as we commune with Him, as we have a relationship. It's interesting, too, while we don't pray, I've met very few Christians who ever said to me over the last 34 years or so of pastoring, "Pastor, I am so proud. I know I pray enough." In fact, I get the exact opposite. People say, "Well, I know I need to pray more." And why don't we pray? It's interesting what the disciples asked Jesus. If you look with me in verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." He doesn't ask Jesus to teach us how to pray. He asks Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Again, we go back to prayer being the expression of a relationship. I have been blessed by books and manuals and conferences that talk about sometimes the mechanics of how to pray. But don't you find that when the relationship is right, any communication theory will work? And when the communion is not right, I don't care how many little tricks, communication techniques that you use. Prayer is not about aligning the right words. Prayer is about coming into the gracious presence of a loving Father. He gives us a model prayer to help us, and it's quite simple. It's five short little sentences. And I would suggest that these five sentences, are far different than most religious-sounding prayers you've ever heard. There's not a whole lot of, "Well, Father, your dear Lord." There's not a lot of religious, colorful language. It simply says, in two different ways, I would say, we thank God for who He is. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. You are our Father. You are our holy King. Then it thanks God for what He does. He provides provision. He forgives us our sins. He perseveres us. He keeps us safe. Isn't it interesting how audacious these sentences are? Give us each day our daily bread. Even my mom and daddy taught me that I need to say it differently than that. I wouldn't go up to any one of you and say, "Give me my daily bread." I've learned to say, "Please." I've learned to say, "Thank you." I wouldn't come up and say, "Get out of the way so I get into your refrigerator and get what I want." But I tell you, one person, and you probably wouldn't do that to me, right? You wouldn't come to my house, tell me, "Give me something to eat. Forgive me when I make mistakes." And they're not even couching these requests with religious sounding languages. If you came to my house and you wanted something to eat, you would ask me kindly. You'd say, "Please," and "Thank you." And you would use a certain language. But I tell you, a couple, three people I know, one in particular, that doesn't couch what they say to me in flowery language. When they want something to eat, they'll say, "Give me something to eat." Guess who they are? You have them too. They're called children. They're called grandchildren. And see, it's a relationship. It's not the words. fact, I would be honest with you, if Emma came and pleaded with me with really strange-sounding, laboriously well-thought-out answers, I'd be somewhat insulted. We come to God, and we basically, in this prayer of five sentences, are saying two things. Thank you, and help me. Provide my provision. The word phrase here, our daily bread, and you've probably heard sermons about how you're asking for this day's bread. And like manna in the Old Testament, God won't give you more than this day's bread. Well, that sounds good. The problem is that's not the Greek word that's used. The Greek word, in some of your translations, may say, it may even be the bread to come. Tomorrow's bread. In essence, what the word really means is, give me the necessary bread. Give me what I need. Give me forgiveness. Give me perseverance. See, prayer shouldn't be complicated. It shouldn't be some formula that we're going through. It's a cry of a relationship. Don't make it too difficult, like Nike. Just do it. My favorite picture of prayer is that father who struggles. He struggles with his business. He struggles with his children. He's surrounded by troubles. His country is even in disarray. You may have seen it. It's a wonderful play made into a movie called Fiddler on the Roof. And if you listen to Tevier, he knows how to pray. A wheel will fall off his cart. And he'll go, really, God? Of all the wealthy people you could have picked on, you picked on me? Why, God? And as you listen to that, as you think of it, the prayer is not about the words. The prayer is about knowing that we live and move and have our being in the presence of God. We walk through the valley, and He's promised to be there. See, we have a Father who has adopted us. And the three lessons, I'll close real quickly, that we learned here about prayer. The first one is, we need to persevere. We need to do it all the time. Again, don't make it complicated. I'm not saying every morning at 6 o'clock you need to get up and spend 15 minutes on your knees saying certain religious formulas. That's not a bad practice, but that's not what I'm calling us to do. We keep it. Asking, understanding that without God's help, we're toast. We can't provide our daily need. We can't on our own propitiate for our sins. We cannot stay protected through the trials. We need God, and we need, as the NIV puts it, shameless audacity. And the story that's given is about this friend. Look with me at this friend. Verse 5. Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Now don't read that too quickly. You've heard me say, and maybe others say, about 2 a.m. friends. Those people you know that if you had a need in the middle of the night, they could call you and you would be there for them. But if you look carefully, the friend who's waking this guy up is not the one in need. It'd be like my friend calling me at 2 a.m. saying, hey Tom, will you go down 501? A friend of mine that you don't know is about 20 miles south of town and has a flat tire. That's an audacious request. And so Jesus is putting this in such a extreme way to answer that there was this desperate need of this friend. And we need to have that understanding that apart from Jesus Christ, we're done for. So we continue in that humble place of persevering and continuing to cry out to our Father. But we don't just cry out to our Father. The second lesson is we have absolute confidence. See, we cry out because we know He'll take care of our needs. Your children, your grandchildren approach you because they know it works. You'll be there for them. And if you're going to be there for them, how much more will your Heavenly Father? But the third lesson is you not only approach in absolute confidence, you have to have, from the Holy Spirit, complete trust in the outcome. See, God's not going to give you harmful or useless gifts. I have quite a few pocket knives. I love the shiny nature of pocket knives. And my two-year-old grandson, he thinks they're pretty cool. And he thinks they're pretty shiny. And he thinks he'd love to have several of Grandpa's pocket knives. And he's asked me over and over, and he didn't try to steal them. He wants those. And I'm not going to let him have it. And he needs to trust me that I'm not letting him have it because I want to keep them from fun. It's how I want to keep them from harm. So we persevere. We have absolute confidence. And we trust the outcome. And again, we're back to the prayer of the kind of relationship of a child relating to a father who's promised to meet us every time and provide for us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table. Truly our daily bread in the midst of our enemies. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. You can find it at page 881 if you need. Let us stand and we'll confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Hallowed be your name, Heavenly Father, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. You formed a people for yourself and called them your children. You delivered them from evil and saved them in the time of trial. Once we were no people, but now we are your people. Because in the fullness of time you sent your Son to forgive us our trespasses through the blood of his cross. And in your Holy Spirit you gave us power to forgive those who trespass against us. And so we gladly praise you with your people on earth and all the company of heaven as we join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of blessing, you promised that as you give us our daily bread, so shall you feed us with the bread of life for eternity. Come down upon your church with the power of your Holy Spirit, that as we remember your Son's saving passion and resurrection and share this holy meal, we may become bread for a hungry world. Sanctify this bread and cup that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son,
who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks. He gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Giver of every good and perfect gift, you promise that everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who seeks will find, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Send your blessing upon those who ask for what you alone can give. Pour your grace upon any who search and upon all who long to be found. Give perseverance to those who knock at the door of justice. And as you dwelt bodily in your Son in all your fullness, dwell in your church today, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, those who are called the children of the living God may know your resurrecting power. Until the day when your kingdom comes and your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Most holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Which of you, if your son or daughter asks for bread, could you give a scorpion? How much more so, as the one who loved us before the foundations of the world invited us to a meal and then gives us himself in that meal? We come and we receive Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Jesus Christ, present for you. Come and receive.